Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Whether you're looking to start a career with no student loans or change careers to land one of the happiest jobs in the world, yep, that's construction, Build Mississippi can help. Visit buildmississippi.com to learn why a career in the trades deserves another look. buildmississippi.com, your future is waiting.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in on this Tuesday of week two of the college football season. It's the Rebel Report talking about another injury on the offensive line tonight. The question is it time to be concerned? My answer, in short, is no, but there are some things to circle, underline, point arrows to, etc. when it comes to the Ole Miss offensive line. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are here on this Tuesday of yet another game week. It is Middle Tennessee. I watched Lane Kiffin's press conference in anticipation of being able to cut some of it and play it for you guys tonight. I am not taking a shot at Lane Kiffin here. This is not what I'm doing, but there was nothing to bring to you guys today. I mean, I watched it, and I mean, there's nothing there. There's really not. He was asked a couple times about injuries. He doesn't talk about injuries. He's asked about Middle Tennessee. Quite frankly, there's nothing to say about Middle Tennessee. As I said to you guys on Sunday, there is very little change when it comes to quality of opponent. Now, there is one. This is a small step up in competition. It is. It is an FBS team after all. It is a G5 team after all. But I saw somebody say that the price of poker goes up this week, and I couldn't possibly disagree with you more. This should be another game where Ole Miss can almost do whatever they want, and we'll see if they can keep up the same intensity through four quarters that they did against Furman. So no Lane Kiffin for you tonight, because he just there was nothing there to bring to you. Although the dog is getting a little bit better, but not quite ready yet to go back to full speed. So that's about all I got from Lane Kiffin today. But we did get some news on the offensive line, so we will get to that. And of course, your messages on this edition of the Rebel Report. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast feed. If you have not already, please do so wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe. If you are watching tonight, don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe, and also leave a comment because Thursday we will be giving away a hat courtesy of College Corner. So be on the lookout for that. Of course, we will do the postgame show after Middle Tennessee. That will be sometime around 7 o'clock on Saturday night, because it's an afternoon kickoff. And I mean, Knock on wood, if you're going to the game, which, by the way, if you want to go to the game, tickets are cheap. If you want to watch this team in person, this is probably a good chance to do it, because it won't get any cheaper than this. The weather is stunning, or at least the forecast says that the weather is supposed to be stunning for what is the second Saturday of September in Mississippi. You really could not ask for a better forecast than the one that you're getting. So if you're there, enjoy it. We will be live post game, and yeah. So anyway, this edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Personal injury, small business, and contract disputes. Look, you may not need him today, but it's important that, one, if you happen to unfortunately get injured, or you may operate a small business and you need some legal advice, or there's like a contract situation that you need help with. Nobody better than DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. Saltillo, Mississippi is where he's located, but he can serve you anywhere in Mississippi. 662-397-9799 is the phone number. 662-397-9799. That's the phone number. Save it. Don't delay. Call DJ today if you need help with personal injuries, small business, or contract disputes. But again, you may not need him today, but save that number, because that day may come and you won't find anybody better to help you with your legal options than DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. So news broke a little bit earlier today, pretty much right at the end of the radio show today is when this happened. I'm reading from Pete Nakos at On3. He said Ole Miss starting offensive lineman Jeremy James has suffered a hand injury and is expected to miss multiple weeks. His source tells On3 Sports it is not believed to be season ending, and he will continue to be evaluated. I guess other reporting says that it is a broken hand. So a couple of things here. One, when it comes to this specific injury and this particular player, with all due respect, because a lot of respect is due, somebody that's been at Ole Miss for a long time. Starter is, I wouldn't think, or I wouldn't say that that's the most accurate description of the player that was lost for Ole Miss today. Now, he's been a starter, and yes, I'm aware that he started against Furman, but I think you guys know as well as anybody, if that game were not Furman when Kentucky comes to town, I think it is far more likely that the offensive line is Jaden Williams, Jerquan Scott in the middle when he comes back healthy. More on him in a second. Either Caleb Warren or one of the two Washington transfers at guard and Micah Pettis at right tackle. That is your starting offensive line as I believe it to be. Now, again, you know, I'm splitting hairs with that, but I don't think Ole Miss lost a true starter for however long that this injury is going to last. I think the framing of that is not exactly what the situation calls to be described as. But regardless, it is somebody that's played a lot of football at Ole Miss, is very important, if nothing else, as a depth piece. Again, did start. And it's the third offensive line injury that will cause a guy to miss time during the season. We talked about camp injuries. Both Washington guys missed time. You had Diego Pounds recovering from offseason injury. And now you have Jerquan Scott getting hurt. You have Caleb Warren getting hurt. And now Jeremy James with reportedly a broken hand. Is it time to be concerned about the injury stacking up on the offensive line? No, not yet. So there's positive spin, there's negative spin, and I'll give you both of them right now. I'll give you the negative first. It is another hit to depth. It is something that has been a strength, or at least the talking point this offseason was a strength for this Ole Miss team, was the depth that they have at offensive line, the functional depth, having nine or so guys that have played a lot of football at this level. So when you do suffer an injury, it's not catastrophe. It's you're plugging in somebody that's played a lot of ball. But at least for this game, that depth is almost depleted. You've got three guys that would at least be in the rotation out for this game, you think. But that is where the concern is that this group hasn't played a whole lot together to begin with, and now injuries are starting to stack up, and what was a strength, which is its depth, has now taken a hit. So that's the negative spin. The positive spin is this is still game two of what should be four preseason games, essentially for Ole Miss. I know next week is a little bit different with Wake Forest on the road, but they don't need, or they shouldn't need, these three guys on the offensive line for them to win these games before Kentucky comes to town. Also, the reporting on this injury is that it's not particularly long-term. There have been other offensive linemen with broken hands, and not every injury is the exact same, come back and play rather quickly. Others have had timelines that would have him back, like by the Kentucky game even, maybe even earlier than that, depending on the severity of the injury, of course. But this seems like, for other guys in the past with similar injuries, something that is not long-term. Maybe this one's different. This one could be brutal. This one could be very easy. We don't know, but at least there is precedent in the past to look at to say, you know, broken hand on an offensive lineman is not the worst injury that they could have received from that spot. Also, some more positive spin for you is I It sounds like, based on everybody that's talked about it, is that Jerquan Scott is very close to returning, possibly by Wake Forest. Maybe could play this weekend, but possibly by Wake Forest. And they still have plenty of time to get healthy before the season gets real 3 weeks from now when Kentucky comes to Oxford. So is it time to be concerned? No. Are there things that you should look at and wonder? The lack of health that they have had on the offensive line really since camp has begun. They haven't played a whole lot of football together. You would much prefer them to not have three injuries on the offensive line by this point. But right now, it seems like, as far as injuries go, it could be a heck of a lot worse for them at this point, with Middle Tennessee and not a good Wake Forest team and Georgia Southern on the schedule before things start getting real with Kentucky. Time to be concerned? No. Are you fair to start kind of raising your eyebrow a little bit at the volume of injuries? Yeah, I think that's fair as well. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. That's the website. If you are in the market for office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage or data security, all things in between, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com is the website. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. absms.com for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. And the podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority with 16 locations scattered across the state of Mississippi. There is there's very likely to be one in your backyard because there's one in my backyard as well. Priority One Bank makes you their priority with local loan servicing and decision-making. There is, it's not a situation where you'll get on the phone with somebody out of state or have to get on Zoom to talk about a loan or get a loan serviced, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority, somebody that you'll sit down with face to face. All right, here we go to the comments. I knew that this was coming. Lane Kiffin has to be the greatest coach of all time. He's coaching at Ole Miss, Florida, LSU, and Florida State all at the same time. How down bad do you have to be as a fan base to where on September the 3rd, you're doing flight trackers? I mean, how impossibly down bad do you have to be to where that is something that is bringing you joy? That is insane, doing flight trackers on September 3rd. And you guys know this already, but I did see some Ole Miss fans kind of falling for it a little bit. That's not how that's not how it works. It's just not how it works. Scott Strickland is not flying to Oxford to talk to Lane Kiffin on September 3rd. It's not happening. It's just, that is not at all how it works. So if you are one of those people that's getting got by that kind of stuff, just know that that's not how it works. I think Billy Napier is more likely to be on Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss staff next year than Lane Kiffin is to replace Billy Napier as the head coach at Florida next year. But again, as I told you guys, we're not talking about this with any sincerity unless things actually happen. And nothing's happened. So you're a lot less concerned about a lineman being injured than you were last year when Pettis went down. The additions You're a lot less concerned about a lineman being injured than you were last year when Pettis went down. The additions definitely added plenty of depth. Absolutely. It's being tested, but isn't that kind of the point of having depth, right? Suffering injuries and surviving said injuries is kind of the whole point of having depth. And so, well, you would prefer it not be this way. The starting offensive line that you're going to put out there, even without two of your centers, is still experienced and talented and good. So considering the depth Ole Miss has O-line in the early schedule, it's not time to panic yet, but they do need some chemistry. I agree. That's the only, that's the big downside is chemistry. There's a whole preseason, pump the brakes on the O-line. Yeah. You and I hit the LSU nail right on the head. They looked like a team missing those players from last year, and the defense is better, but it also felt like a slow start for both offenses. Yeah, I mean, USC's quarterback, who's good, by the way, don't get me wrong, and Lincoln Riley's offense is good, don't get me wrong, but his second ever start, and he throws for 11 yards per attempt on you? 11 yards per attempt? I don't know. I thought the biggest difference in that game with LSU and USC was USC was more disciplined. They were a smarter football team. LSU made dumb mistakes, not only personal foul penalties, but just that they were less disciplined. Kelly got outcoached in the final minutes. USC was so prepared and executed the two-minute drill so well. This LSU team is Brian Kelly in a nutshell. This is Brian Kelly. This is why I spent the offseason talking about how I think he is one of the more overrated coaches in all of college football. And the other two people on the radio show looked at me like I was crazy, but I was so right about that. And I am right about it today. Brian Kelly is the epitome of good, not great. He is good. He is not great. He's been at Notre Dame and LSU. And we're going to start talking about what he did at Notre Dame as if it was special. It wasn't special. It's Notre Dame. They will be good this year. They'll win 9 games probably somewhere in that neighborhood. They're going to put players in the NFL. If you have to go to their place, it's going to be tough as hell. And that's all they're going to be. That is all Brian Kelly is. That's all he will ever be. He's good, not great. This LSU team is good. They are not great. They'll be a tough out, especially if you have to go to their place. But that's all they are. That's all Brian Kelly has ever been. And I think Big Cat from Barstool, pardon my take, is exactly right when he says, essentially, Brian Kelly lost 2 games this weekend. Because had he been at, wait, how did he phrase it? Had Brian Kelly been at Notre Dame, they would have lost to Texas A&M on Saturday is what he was saying. And I agree. He doesn't win big games. The biggest games. So the knock that people give Kiffin, you can apply to Brian Kelly more so because of the jobs that he has had and for how long that he has been there. It's more apt to Brian Kelly than it is to Lane Kiffin, I think. But anyway, good, not great. That is all they will be. And LSU is a great program. It's one of the very small handful of elite jobs in college football. And he's going to be good there. That's not a job where you're good. And they already want to ship him out of town, but can't do that. Head injuries, especially to the offensive line, it gives you trauma flashbacks from the past. Saw a meme today of comparing Brian Kelly's rage in the postgame to Jeff Bridges' box of scraps ran in Iron Man. I mean, that was fake, right? I mean, that was phony emotion. That wasn't real emotion, right? Rewatching LSU now, no run game, dink and dunk, throws downfield. What's my score prediction in Death Valley? I got to watch both of these teams a little bit more before I get there. But I think as of now, based on what we know, that's a game that Ole Miss should win, but they've got to get healthier up front on the offensive line. But yeah, it's almost like an elite quarterback who was an elite athlete masked some issues for that team last year. Like, all offseason, the best offensive line in football. We brought this up a few weeks ago right here on this live stream. What if they looked like the best offensive line in football because Daniels was elite, not only as an athlete, but escaping pressure and extending plays and running the football? They stunk running the football when it wasn't him last year. And their best running back last year is now at Ole Miss. So they weren't a very good running team, with the exception of the Heisman Trophy winner. What if he masked some things with them? And Nussmeier like played well. Like, I think he's got an NFL future. But he's not Daniels. And he's not athletic like Daniels. And LSU didn't have a running game against USC's defense. You think that that's the best defense that they're going to see this year? No, sir. Ole Miss should be able to score into the 50s on all 4 of these non-conference opponents. Georgia Southern's defense is awful. I agree. I would almost be surprised if they don't touch 50 in every game. I would almost be surprised. We won't know much about LSU until Ole Miss visits. They play no one between now and then. I should have the helmet schedule. Somebody gave me one. I need to just like hang it up right here in my office. That game in Columbia, South Carolina, could get weird. I mean, I know South Carolina looked like an absolute train wreck, but it's still playing a road game in the SEC. It is still that. The Middle Tennessee press conference was the most praise you've ever seen from an opponent press conference. Derek Mason knows what's up. He also seems like a pretty good guy, too. In my very, very, very limited interaction with him, he was very pleasant on media days a few years ago on an elevator together, of all things. But, I mean, because they know, he knows what's coming, and Middle Tennessee knows what's up. Any short-term injury shouldn't hurt the win-loss for several weeks, though, to be fair. Absolutely. I mean, I am not concerned about their ability to win these next three games. I do wonder if the lack of continuity, like the ability to play together a lot, is going to impact them in any way. Seeing Notre Dame jump Ole Miss in the polls with the bonus of their Charmin soft schedule will likely pass teams. They will likely pass teams like Bama, Texas, Oregon, etc., as those teams pick each other off. Thanks, Texas A&M. Didn't hear the radio show today, but guessing you guys ripped into Florida State. Oh, absolutely. What's so fascinating about that is, look, I mean, they couldn't run the football. Boston College had a lot of success in the trenches. That's 2 weeks in a row where Florida State has been the worst team on the line of scrimmage. But a better quarterback than DJU at least beats Georgia Tech and probably wins last night too. So I know everybody's talking about how they got bullied, and it's true. They weren't as good on the lines of scrimmage. And how they don't have like an alpha receiver like they had a year ago. That's also true. But it's the quarterback's always low-hanging fruit. But the fact that Norvell went with DJU with other options that he could have gotten. Like, no, Jackson Dart told them, if you believe the rumors, they tried to go get like a Jackson Dart and failed, obviously failed. But like Kyle McCord's better than DJU. Don't you think they could have gotten Kyle McCord from Ohio instead of Syracuse? I mean, there are so many quarterbacks that moved that would have gone to Florida State. Or somebody like and I'm not saying like go get him, but somebody like a Walker Howard, a very talented guy that was going to be a backup this year. Instead, Norvell went with a guy that has proven to not be good enough. It has proven that he's extremely limited as a passer. And that's what they went with. I mean, as a coach, as an evaluator, that was a massive, massive miss. But it's not like it was a miss on a high school recruit or a miss on a guy that hadn't really played a whole lot. They missed on a guy with years of sample size of being objectively bad, or at least not good enough. And then he goes to Florida State and he's not good enough. And everybody's like, what the hell happened? Nothing. He is exactly who he's always been. What a bizarre miss from Mike Norvell. And it's going to cost them a lot of games this year. The fourth down decision with the pick by DJ was probably the worst play you saw all weekend. Something like that. Interesting to you how programs like Florida State don't get questioned about sustaining success. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? That, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Patrick, because it shows you how either lazy or unwilling to critically think people in my business are. Forget fans. Fans are dumb. You've got Florida fans doing this thing with sharing like university donations as if it's like how much money a collective has. Like that fans being dumb is, you know, Florida fans are being dumb about all of this. And they're doing that because their team is bad and they're mad that their team is bad. And when you're mad, you're irrational. But it's people in my business that are completely unwilling to critically think about things like that. Because as we talk about all the time, if you are considering something that happened pre-2021, when you're talking about programs, you're probably doing it wrong. Georgia's on top, not because of what Georgia used to be. It's what Georgia became when the flip switched on this era. They were prepared for this, and they've adapted to this, and they're doing it correctly. They've got a lot of money, and they're spending that money on good players. They're high school recruiting well. They're portaling certain needs. They've adapted. Ohio State has adapted. Texas has adapted. Alabama, to Kalen DeBoer's credit, so far, it seems like they have adapted. They adapted under Saban for the most part. They've adapted. Ole Miss has adapted. Missouri has adapted. But Georgia being where they are has nothing to do with history. It's they have chosen to go to make the necessary adjustments to stay where they were. Clemson has not done that, and that's why they are where they are. So, people, is this sustainable at Ole Miss? Well, it's been more sustainable at Ole Miss than almost every other program in college football over the last 4 years. But for some reason, they get questioned. And Florida State, being awful, only gets questioned when it comes to, the coach is failing. Nobody questions the Florida job where, I mean, since Spurrier retired, they've had one coach that wasn't a failure. But they're just cycling in coaches that are successful at other places, and they're failing at Florida. And nobody in my business talks about it might be a Florida problem. No. It's just the coaches are, for whatever reason, they're good at their previous stop, but they get to Florida and they suck. It's a them problem, not a Florida problem. Look in the mirror. Nobody's willing to do that, because we saw that in 2008, Florida won a championship because that mattered. We remember when Tebow cried, and that was awesome. And that, for some reason, makes us believe that what they were then is what they are supposed to be always. And even though that Florida's introduction to this era has been pathetic, been absolutely pathetic, that they can just snap their fingers right out of it and become something that they're not and they haven't been. It's crazy how people can cover college football and claim to watch it as much as they do and not see the reality in front of them. How many more teams do I expect to enter the Lane Kiffin sweepstakes? Oh, gosh. We're not talking about that. Edward, I told you we're not talking about that until we're given a reason to. Would they take some D-line guys to try to plug and play? They don't need to do that. They are not that – they're not in that spot where they are desperate for bodies to the point where they would convert a defensive lineman, I don't believe. As far as I understand it, none of these injuries are expected to be long-term. I think that Scott, if they were playing Kentucky this week, I think that Scott would play. Apparently he's very close to coming back. I think James is not going to be out long. I haven't heard much on Warren, but initially the way it was reported, it didn't seem like it was a long-term thing there either. So no, they are not desperate in that way yet. Not yet. Got the news you would not be traveling to Wake Forest. Really wanted to go, but couldn't work it out with band and money. Currently got a fan trip to Carolina lined up and planning on Florida. Enjoy. Columbia, so the stadium environment at South Carolina is great. They do a really good job in stadium. The tailgating and stuff around the stadium, and it's odd. It's I don't think you'll enjoy that at South Carolina as much as, like, I would encourage you, frankly, to go find a bar. That's what I would tell you to do. It's like fairgrounds parking lot tailgate, very NFL. Now they're trying to update it. They've done some nice things lately, apparently, to kind of update it and make it centralized, but it's not. Columbia's big, and it's just kind of, the campus is pretty. But it's, I think you'll come away not impressed compared to, You know, I think Fayetteville's great, for example. I would put Columbia, and Columbia's fine. Like, I grew up in South Carolina. I've got a soft spot there, but it's not the best, like, outside of the stadium game day environment in the SEC. I'll put it that way. You're waiting for Florida to lose to get better ticket prices. You'll probably get in for pennies by the time that game rolls around. Lane will make $100 million next year coaching all of these teams at the same time. No kidding. You know, he's already making like $3 million more than Napier is. Is it that the defensive line is so good, they're just beating the hell out of the offensive line, causing these injuries? Well, once the season begins, they really don't do physical practice. That is something that Lane Kiffin has talked about in the past, that season is more about game preparation than it is like just beating each other's brains in. So if you're getting hurt in practice during the season at Ole Miss, then it's kind of a freak thing. It's the NFL, not the college jobs that you're worried about. If he gets an NFL job, it means they won the Natty or got close. LSU scoring 20 points on a Lincoln Riley defense is concerning regardless of a DC change. How about big game Brian Kelly? No kidding. His highest achievement in his coaching career is a Citrus Bowl win. Oh, gosh, I have no idea what Keith Carter's day-to-day is now that football season is here. I should have asked him last week when we were in Oxford, just like, you wake up and do what today? But don't forget, he's the athletic director, so that means all of the sports, he has to deal with it all. So even though football is the priority, obviously, but, you know, a lot of stuff is going on all at the same time, and he's a busy guy, but he gets paid well for it. The amount of I told you so you got to dish out to LSU people, you know, is satisfying, but that game in October still worrisome. Absolutely. It's a good football team. That's a tough place to play. I deserve a Coke Zero and a smile. Thank you. I was going to talk about Lane Kiffin trolling tonight, but then the injury happened. The missed assignments by the secondary are absolutely easily corrected. Yes, they are. I would be a lot more concerned, Cal, if the big plays, the very few big plays that Furman had were because they won one-on-one matchups. I would be far more concerned if, like, Trey Amos gave up big pass plays. You know what I mean? Like, this transfer from Alabama that's supposed to be good, and wait, this Furman kid just beat him? What the hell's going on? That didn't happen. So it's far better. They gave up a couple big pass plays on coverage bust, one of which was Dottery that I think he just missed his assignment. But you would much rather that than have Trey Amos give up a long pass play to a Furman wide receiver in a one-on-one type situation. I'm not going to take the bet on the pass run distribution because I do think that Kiffin is going to I really do think he's motivated to try to get Jackson to New York. Now, when it comes to real games, they're going to do whatever it takes to win. But like, I think they're going to sling it around again on Saturday. I think Jackson's going to really throw the football because I think he has to average, it's like 315 yards or something per game over just the next 11 games to break the all-time passing record. LSU's O-line had little run blocking and was horrible with pre-snap penalties. They really ran their mouths in the offseason about championships. Yes, they did. Yeah. Had a nice little stretch of good running, but as you said, this is a USC Lincoln Riley defense. I know they changed coordinators, but you can't just snap your fingers and become what they looked like they were against LSU. You can be an improved team, but going from pathetic to only giving up 20 points to LSU? Hypothetical gun to my head, you have to pick an exact game Diggs makes his debut. Which is it? Georgia State and next year's season opener? I think. I could be very wrong about that. I could be very wrong about that. If not that, let's see. Georgia. So the Georgia game would be basically just under a year. Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with that for now. Next year's season opener. Think you could be right when you say Lenora Sellers would be the worst quarterback in the SEC. That guy wears goggles, for goodness sakes. He absolutely looked the worst in the absolutely looked the worst. No doubt. Do I think the slam dunk celebration lasts through the year? I don't mean to be old man yells at cloud guy, but every single time I see that, I cringe a little. Just like, oh, God. I really don't like that at all. I know they're having fun, and that's been a big selling point of their program is, like, you know, they get the work done, but they have fun also. And so, you know, that's part of their branding. That's why they're so attractive when it comes to players, especially portal players. But that makes me uncomfortable. I'm willing to admit that. You're stealing this from Neil and Chase, but Kentucky giving them a punch in the mouth early wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Better prep for LSU. And I think they're going to get one. I think Stoops will have them ready to play. They have Ohio before they come to Oxford. They have a defensive line that's good. I think Kentucky will. I think Ole Miss might get a shock to the system a little bit when it's going to be a massive step up in competition between what they're playing versus Kentucky. Now, I think Ole Miss is better than Kentucky, and I would pick them to win the game today, and I will when that week comes, I'm sure, because they have a better roster than that of Kentucky's, and I think that Kiffin's a better coach, and they're better schemed, and they've got the better quarterback. But Kentucky has the personnel that can, like, shock their system a little bit. It's like jumping into a cold pool. After a few seconds, you'll be all right and comfortable. But I do think that the first four games paired with what Kentucky's going to present on the defensive front might, you know, give Ole Miss a little jump in a cold pool. It's a good way to think about it. Florida State's not just terrible at quarterback. It's everywhere. They're soft on defense and have no pass catchers. Yeah, it's pretty. But the thing is, like I said, better quarterback wins those two games. But yes, they are a problem. If Norvell rolls out of 5-7 or 4-8, that's 3 of 5 years with a losing season. I think Norvell is a good coach, but has he already lost the season? Sure looks like he's lost the program after last December. They have a lot of portal guys. That's another angle to the portal era is when you have a lot of them, can you keep them together after they've essentially been eliminated from the playoff? You live in Ohio, right down the road from Ohio State. What the talk here is about Quinshon is his mom hated the culture in Oxford. She wanted more camera time and money. The Ohio State people don't seem to know what was up about all of that. That was very vague. I'm sorry for being vague. If she hated the culture in Oxford, then that's her prerogative. I don't live in her shoes. And it certainly appears like literally everybody else affiliated with that program had the time of their lives a season ago. And the only person that appeared unhappy at times happened to be him. I mean, the whole – and look, every team says they like each other and stuff, but – everybody else affiliated with that program appears to be just as happy and comfortable and joyous as you possibly could be. And then there's that. But anyway, you kind of like Tennessee to make the playoff, even though it was just Chattanooga. That line, shout out to Brandon, who's in here, by the way, our PTG Outdoors Fishy Line of the Week on the radio show. Why is Tennessee only a touchdown favorite over NC State? That's fishy. That doesn't make sense. What do they know? Eccles played O-line until his senior year of high school. Yeah, I don't think they need to do the switch yet, though. I don't think they're there yet. Want to hear something crazy? LSU only has one 10-win regular season since 2012. Wow. And that's the Burrow year. Wow. You think both teams in this Mississippi State versus Arizona State game will get into the 30s or 40s scoring-wise? I feel better about State beating Florida than Arizona State. You know, I don't hate that last part. I watched the Arizona State game, obviously, because, I mean, it was the only game on, but also because I needed to see who, you know, State was going to play. I was impressed by Arizona State. You know, I think that they're going to present some issues to Mississippi State's front. They ran the football well. Quarterback's a pretty good athlete. It'll be a challenge. I think I'm going to be the only one going into this week on the show saying that, hey, they're going to go there and lose possibly. But because I'm saying all that, like today I called Arizona State. They were picked to finish last in the Big 12. They're not the worst team in the Big 12. There's no way. They are improved. That's an improved football team. They are better. Absolutely, they are better. And so if State wins that game, it's a good win. And I am very consistent. That is one thing that I pride myself on, is I am consistent. I'm not that guy that's going to say Arizona State's improved. State really has a fight on their hands on Saturday. And then turn around if they win that game and say, oh, it was just Arizona State. I'm not that guy. I don't do that. And I won't do that here. But I think that Arizona State is going to present a challenge. It's also really late. On the road, 9:30 at night. That's a tough spot for them. Got to say, you love T-Bob and Matt Moscona's whiskey and wine postgame, pure gold. You know, I've seen people either love it or they hate it. It's a lot of people look at it because it's like a car accident. I enjoy them both. So I enjoy them both. I think they're both extremely talented, and their styles are different on the radio, but they're both really, really good at what they do. I don't like that. That's not for me. It gets a ton of views, and so the joke's on me for not doing something like that, because they get a ton of views, and they're making a ton of money, and they get a ton of donations and super chats and all that. I love their content. When they are on the radio shows, especially when T-Bob gets talking about the Pelicans, man, I love it. I love that. But the post game show thing, that's not for me, and that's okay. But that's not my thing. Edward should get a Juice Wells jersey for that trip. He might be a victim of assault if he wears one around there. You've already ordered a Dart jersey back in August from DHgate. Hopefully it arrives before that trip. You might get it by the end of the season. The amount of Judkins change to Perkins jerseys you saw on Twitter made you laugh. Yeah, there needs to be like a screen printing company. Although, you know, they probably can't advertise this, but the idea that popped in my head was like, they'll say, hey, I'll like cover up the letters and put the new letters on for like $10 or whatever. But then you would be having a Suntarian Perkins jersey that he didn't get his cut on. But anyway. Thanks, man, for the super chat. I appreciate you. It would be an easy bet, but you have been saying it since the spring. You absolutely have, that they were going to throw the ball a lot more than they have in the past, that they would, I mean, 55, 45, 60, 40, somewhere in there. You've been saying it since like March. Are there any games on the Ole Miss schedule that worries me? Do they have the depth to endure an SEC schedule to make a deep run in the playoffs? They do. I think they do. But, you know, like every team, that there can only, you can only sustain so many injuries before it gets bad. You know, worries is a relative term. Obviously, LSU and Georgia are the ones that I think that are the most losable. Absolutely can lose both of those games, without a doubt. I think they're better than LSU. I'm not sure that they're better than Georgia. That was just a big gap to close, and we'll see if they've done it. They look like they've gotten much closer, but we'll have to see. Tiger Stadium's always tough. you know, I'm not quote unquote worried about their ability to win the game, but I do think Kentucky's going to be tougher than some people think it will be. Going to South Carolina after Kentucky before LSU might. Oh, they stink, though. It's so hard to just talk myself into that because they really do stink. They are so, they look so bad. But what would the third? So the obvious answer should be Oklahoma, the third most difficult game on Ole Miss's schedule. But I'm not totally convinced that Oklahoma is better than Kentucky. I know they beat the hell out of Temple. I know, but I watched it. And they've got big time issues on the offensive line, does Oklahoma. Who won the weekend with the most with their bragging about scoring on FCS teams? You think you'll go with Arkansas? Yeah, Arkansas just so happened to play the worst team in the FCS, though. I mean, truly, I really think that Pine Bluff could be the worst FCS team in the country. We'll get a reality check on Arkansas this weekend. Does Kiffin give light info on injuries when he is forced to by the SEC or no? He lies, but I get why. The SEC is going to be dishing out six-figure fines for inaccurate injury reporting. So they're going to have to be honest about the designations. And if they get caught not being honest about the designations, it's six-figure fines for every violation. So you think a lot of teams, especially Florida State, missing out on Diego Pavia and the transfer portal really missed out. Vanderbilt's actually fun to watch now. I've been beating that drum ever since he signed there, man. He's a fun player. They were running triple option in the second half. Triple option in the second half against Virginia Tech. That was a lot of fun. Why are there no dedicated Mississippi State YouTube channels? It's weird. Robbie does some live chats. So if you want to watch some state stuff, Robbie does them. Robbie Falk with On Three over there. He does them. You think State wins both Arizona State and Florida? I'll counter bet your pass run distribution bet with that one. You don't understand why Notre Dame jumped Ole Miss. You are never big on this A&M team. They shouldn't have been ranked 20th in the nation. New system. I understand that. I understand that. I do. I don't think it matters at the moment. But look, Notre Dame's win was a lot more impressive than Ole Miss's win, regardless of how many points Ole Miss scored. They'll have their opportunities, and they'll take advantage, and they'll be fine. Thanks for the Vandy love. We aren't good, but we sure are better, doing the best with what we got. Nice to be smiling at least this week. Man, I'm glad you're here, as always. Hope you're enjoying your tour. I mean, are you always on the road? How many breaks do you get? I know the music life is it's a grind, but I sure hope you enjoyed that one. I mean, I enjoyed the hell out of that game, and I thought about you watching that game. I was like, I hope that you were there, but anyway. Bring T-Bob to Super Talk. I love it. I love working with him, but he's exactly where he needs to be. I do not know the answer to this question yet. Is there any info on if Jeremy James is surgery type of injury or just rehab? I do not know the answer to that. That's why it's kind of like, you know, in the past, guys with hand injuries have, especially linemen, like come back pretty quickly, but we just don't know. Chase, I'm going to have to watch that halftime show then. That's so cool, man. That's so cool. Hey, Haydad and I are going to be in Starkville on the 20th. On the 20th. So that's a Friday. We're going to be in Starkville that day. So come by like you did last time we were there, man. I would love to see you again. Why do you hear people changing jersey numbers announced in the middle of the game? Is that something new? It's so you don't have... Well, like certain positions need to have certain numbers, and also to avoid having two of the same number on the field at the same time for like special teams. You think we'll know in Baton Rouge that they close the gap with Georgia? I think that's fair. I agree with that, actually. We're going to learn so much about this team in Baton Rouge. So much about this team in Baton Rouge. Kentucky could go 8-4, and the four losses could all be to playoff teams. Give me one more week to decide on Arkansas being a tough road game. I agree. Need some Michael Borky and Josh Pate content. Dream team. Oh man, yeah, no, he's a lot bigger than me. I'd love to have him here, but he draws bigger guests than me. That's for sure. Think about this. Mike Elko lost to a team with his former quarterback at home with more talent, and Notre Dame didn't even play well. Where have I heard this with A&M before? Felt a lot like Jimbo, didn't it? The SEC says they'll issue fines for inaccurate injury reports, but the second they try and dig into medical records to prove inaccuracies, they'll get a dose of losing in court. Well, here's the thing, though. Every other sports league does it. The injury reporting is something that, like, there's precedent for that. Curtain rod for me. I'm not, if you send me a curtain rod, I'm not putting it up. All right. Offer accepted. Thank you for the super chat. So bet, counter bet. So what did you do? 55-45 pass run distribution for Ole Miss this year. And I get that State will lose at least one of Arizona State, Florida. Deal. Deal. And thank you, my friend. Appreciate you. After watching how Boston College was able to take over. After watching how Southern Cal was able to take over the LSU game running the ball, I hope we see some dominant running games before we get to LSU. I don't know, man. I have a feeling that I think Brandon's right. I really do. I think they're going to win by throwing the football more. That's where their matchup advantages are going to be every single week. Every week their matchup advantages are going to be Jackson Dart throwing the football. Georgia's the only one that will have secondary. No team besides Georgia will have a secondary that can match up athlete for athlete with what Ole Miss presents at wide receiver and tight end paired with the quarterback. Back in LA for a couple months. Music Bros, a total rush. Love it. Peace. Good to see you, man. Good to see you. Send me some of your music. I want to listen to it. Great show tonight. Have a good night. Yep, I'm going to wrap it there. Thank you guys so much. As always, went almost an hour tonight. I love football season so much. We'll be back on Thursday. It might be just a few minutes late. It just depends. But shooting for being on time on Thursday, and that's when we will do the first of many hat giveaways. So who do I have winning between Colorado and Nebraska? Nebraska by double digits. Thank you guys, and I'll see you on Thursday. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.